Good afternoon, and a very, very warm welcome to this afternoon's service of worship. It's lovely, on a beautiful day like this, it's lovely to come together in Jesus' name to worship Him and to worship our Lord and our Saviour in this His church family, as we do so together to encourage and build one another up and to bring all the praise and all the glory to Him. So welcome. It's my privilege and my pleasure to welcome you in Jesus' name to this service today. Just a couple of things before I hand over to Ken. Ken will be preaching today from John chapter 21 in a sermon called Following Christ. And this evening in Glenelg, we will be watching part two of our online series on Ezekiel. Reverend Ian Hamilton from Smith and Free Church will be preaching on Revelation 1, chapters 1 to 28. So do come along if you can to join us there, and that service in the evening will be followed by our usual weekly prayer meeting. Please do every effort to be there. Just one intimation that needs to be read before the congregation, and you can see it there in the bulletin. The Kirk Session are calling a congregational meeting on Sunday the 12th of May 2024 at Inverenet Community Hall, immediately following the 12 noon service, for the sole purpose of appointing local trustees for the Ardell Manse and the Glenelg Free Church building. Reverend Roddy Rankin will chair the meeting on behalf of Reverend Gordon Martin, our interim moderator. And because the church, the way we're set up, the church itself, the congregation, cannot own property, so we need to have people in place who will be trustees. And their job simply is to sign any documents pertaining to that building. All the management of the buildings is done by the finance committee. But we need to appoint one new trustee in Glenelg. There are three already in place. And we need to appoint four new trustees for our Ardell Manse. So we'll be proposing those trustees to you at the congregational meeting, asking for your approval. So hopefully it'll be a very short meeting. Notice that it's the intimation of that meeting to come, and for the sole purpose of appointing trustees, local trustees. Without any further ado, I will hand over to Ken. Thank you, Ken.
Well, a very warm welcome to you. It's good to have visitors with us today. Hope you are blessed as we worship God together. Let me begin by reading to you some words from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Let's do that. Let's join together in praise of Almighty God. We sing from the Scottish Psalter and Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Shall we stand and sing together?
With mercy.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, our everlasting Heavenly Father, we praise you and we worship you. We praise you for your mercy, which is forever sure. We praise you for your love and your care and your compassion on those who are unworthy. We praise you that you have an ear to hear us whenever we cry out to you. We praise you for the promises of your word, that for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we call upon your name now, Lord. We come before you as children calling upon a heavenly Father, as sinners calling upon a Saviour, as those deserving judgment come seeking mercy and grace. And we praise you, Father, for the cross of Christ. We praise you for the good news of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, in this difficult and troubled world, we think both locally, personally, in our small number here, and globally too, and everything in between, how much pain and suffering there is, how much anxiety and stress and worry. And yet, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love for us, for your goodness made evident to us, even in the hardest and darkest of times, or that we can know you. Lord, would you minister to us as we spend time in the scriptures here today, as we spend time praying and singing, minister to us, at each one of us in our own particular need. Bless us as we seek your face. Strengthen us and comfort us, and give us hearts of praise and gratitude towards you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, and your love to us. We pray your blessing upon this land and for those who lead. Pray for strength and for wisdom, for compassion. And Lord, in your mercy, shine your light into this dark land, we pray. Think of troubled places across the world, and the escalation of fighting and killing, greed. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we pray for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day when all things will be put right. And we look forward to the day when sin will no longer exist. And Lord, in the meantime, we pray for the progress of the gospel, that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask and pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing once more from the Sing Psalms version of Psalm 46. Version A on page 59. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. Therefore, though the earth gives way, we will not be afraid. We're going to sing the whole psalm to God's praise. Do stand and let's sing together.
God is our refuge.
Well, if you have a Bible there, do open the scriptures at John's Gospel and chapter 21, the last chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 21, and I'll read the whole chapter. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened in this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There was fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but not even with so many was the net torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, a rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word to us. Now, how many boys and girls have we got here today? I think what I was wanting to do was teach you a song. After last week with my wonderful singing, I thought maybe we could do some more singing. And there's a lot of talk about football just lately, with some teams not doing very well. But there's a programme on the TV, boys and girls, called Match of the Day. Have you ever heard of it? Never heard of Match of the Day. Well, it's the same programme that's been on the TV for years, and it's on. And it used to be on earlier on in the day, I think, but it's on at like 10 o'clock or half 10, is it, something like that, on a Saturday night. And there's the same tune has gone with Match of the Day for years and years and years. And it's quite a well-known tune, and you might recognise it. But being quite good at modern technology, I've got the words prepared for the song on this cardboard box. So I'm going to try and sing it, and if you know the song, join in. You'll know the tune. Hopefully that's big enough that you can see. Cam's probably struggling to read that at the back. But you might. So it's the tune is like that. So that's just to give you an idea. Let's have a look at what the words are actually saying first. Why don't you put your trust in Jesus and ask him to come in? He saw your need from up in heaven and died to bear your sin. Why don't you take him as your saviour and let him hold your hand? He will take and guide and keep you till you reach the promised land. So what it's basically, it's a song of saying, why don't you become a Christian? Why don't you put your trust in Jesus and ask him to come into you, into your heart, into your life? He saw us from way before the world was made. He knew who we would be, and he saw our need, and he died on the cross to bear our sin. So it's the song saying, why don't you take him as your saviour and let him hold your hand through life? He will take and guide and keep you till you reach the promised land. And that's a way of talking about heaven. So when we die, we have eternal life with him. So let me just wet my... Let's try and sing it. You join in, because my singing's not really that good, is it? I'm trying to think of a note to start on. Why don't you put your trust in Jesus and ask him to come in? He saw your need from up in heaven and died to bear your sin. Why don't you take him as your saviour and let him hold your hand? He will take and guide and keep you till you reach the promised land. He will take and guide and keep you till you reach the promised land. Is that good? Tell you what, we'll say a prayer, and then if you want to take the box to Sunday school, you could maybe we might hear you later on in the service having another go. Let's just pray for all the boys and girls. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to church. Thank you that we have children and a Sunday school, and that we can all be learning more about you. I pray for the boys and girls here today that you'd help them to put their trust in Jesus. Ask you, Lord, to come in and be their saviour forever. In his name we pray. Amen. Have a good time in Sunday school. You can keep that box. Have fun. So we're going to join together and sing once more from Psalm 107 in the Sing Psalms. That's on page 143. And we're going to sing the first 9 verses. I will thank the Lord, for he is good. His love endures always. Let those whom God redeemed say this, those rescued by his grace. He saved them from their enemies and brought them from the lands, from east and west, from north and south, safe from oppressing hands. So we're going to sing down to the end of the verse 9. To God's praise. Do stand and let's sing together.
Oh, thank the Lord, for he is good, his love endures always. Let those whom God redeemed say this, those rescued by his grace. He saved them from their enemies.
Well, this is the last in a long series of sermons from the Gospel of John. It's well over a year. I know I'm not on every week and we have different preachers, but it's over 60 sermons on the Gospel of John. So it's probably about 2 years, I think, we've been going through John's Gospel. And it's been a privilege for me as a preacher, just studying and reading, and hopefully some of that's spilled over on a Sunday afternoon to people who have heard. We are to be sheep and fishers of men, and also shepherds. And Jesus asks us in the passage today, do you love me? We're called to follow Jesus as sheep. We are called to be fishers of men. And we are called to care for the sheep as shepherds. And Jesus asks us, as he asked Peter, do you love me? John ends his book as he signs off in verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. He's used the word witness 47 times in John's Gospel, in the Gospel. And John is the witness that wrote these things down for us who came later to read them. He couldn't write everything down. He had to be selective, as anyone is who writes history or writes an account of something. You have to be selective, don't you? There in verse 25, the last verse, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, if you love reading, I guess that would be a glimpse of heaven, wouldn't it? Imagine books and books and books, all on the life of Christ, and eternity to read them. But John couldn't write everything down. He had to be selective. And as explained earlier in his process, in his motive of selecting what he wrote down, we've seen a verse in chapter 20 several times. We've come back to it. It's a key verse in understanding the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31. As John speaks about what he wrote down, the words he wrote down in his Gospel, he says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Read the words, John says. Believe the truth. And by believing, receive. Receive eternal life in the name of Christ. Read, believe, receive. Read, believe, receive. It's that simple. Will you read the Gospel of John, the New Testament, the Scriptures? If you don't have a Bible, take one. But please read the Scriptures. Read the Gospel of John. Read through the Gospels. Take some time just to do that. Seek God. Ask him to give you faith as you read. Ask him to increase your faith as you read. We come to our passage today, verse 9. When they had landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there was fish on it and some bread. So it's just after the miraculous catch of fish, Jesus risen from the dead. It's one of the, I think it says there, the third time that he appeared to them after his resurrection. That miraculous catch of fish that took them right back in their memories to one of the first times they met him. And John says to Peter, it is the Lord. That guy on the shore, that's the Lord. Peter puts his jacket on, jumps into the sea. He's just overjoyed and just jumps into the sea, fully clothed, and swam to Jesus. They'd been reminded of that earlier miraculous catch of fish when Jesus had called them to follow him at the beginning, to become his sheep, following the Good Shepherd. And he had called them to become fishers of men. Peter would have seen the fire of burning coals and remembered another like it just a few days, possibly weeks before, fire in a courtyard where he had gone to warm himself, a fireside at which he had denied the Lord three times, only later to be absolutely gutted at his own cowardice and his disloyalty, and he wept bitter tears. And it's that incident, Peter's denials, that Jesus wants to set right with Peter after their breakfast. But there's some small details sometimes come out as you're reading these accounts. And I love how God's grace is seen, his loving kindness, in that he cares for Peter's practical needs first. Peter's been up all night fishing. He's tired, he's hungry. So what's the first thing Jesus does? There's a fire with some fish. There's breakfast. Before he gets to the more important spiritual needs and matters, he ensures that Peter's fed, dry, and warm. He doesn't lay straight into Peter on an empty stomach. Surely there's a lesson here for each of us, isn't there? How we care for one another and others outside. Caring for people's practical needs as well as their deeper, more important spiritual needs. We're to love people practically in sensible ways. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Well, there in verse 19, follow me. Verse 22, you must follow me. A disciple is a follower, someone who follows. And it's good to stop and think, what does that mean for me to follow Jesus Christ? What does that look like? What does it entail? Peter's faith had wavered. He denied Jesus those three times. You are not one of his disciples, are you? I am not. Again, you are not one of his disciples, are you? I am not. Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove? Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a cock began to crow. Three times he had denied his Lord, even when he had just been warned hours before by Jesus that he was going to do it. Even when he had sworn blind that he would never do that. I will never deny you. Three times, Jesus now asks Peter, do you love me? The first time he asked, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Earlier on, Peter had boasted, I will lay my life down for you. And he said, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. So he's basically saying, look, see all these other disciples here, Jesus. Even if all of them let you down, I won't. Not me, never. I love you more than these other guys. He boasted of his own love for Jesus being greater than that of the other disciples. In effect, he's saying, I'm better than all these other guys. I'll never disown you. He boasted of his greater loyalty to Christ. So Jesus asks in verse 15, do you truly love me more than these? Do you mean what you said? How did that work out for you, Peter? Do you truly love me? How do you answer that yourself, perhaps, as we sit here this afternoon? Do you love, truly love, Jesus? It's a good question just to think on, to dwell on
Do you love him?
Now, John goes on to write in one of his letters later that this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, it's not our love for him that's the impressive thing. It's his love for us, his sacrificial giving love. But nevertheless, do you love Jesus? I had a wonderful drive across the country on Friday. Left very early in the morning, Aberdeen, in the snow. Got to King Ussie and the sun had come out, and that road from King Ussie, Newton Moor to Speen Bridge, just beautiful drive. And I was listening to the Bible on a CD in the van and praying for folks. And just had that. I love the Lord. Beautiful, one of the most beautiful roads to drive down. If the traffic's not bad, I wasn't in a hurry. And I do just love you, Lord. Just a moment, a precious moment. Do you love Jesus? It's often noted that by some scholars, certainly, that the different words are used for the word love here. So we have just the one word love used again and again. But in the Greek, different words are used with a different emphasis. And some scholars make much of that, and others perhaps not so much, and see them as fairly interchangeable. But we just have the one word, love. The two words for love are agape, you may have heard, is God's love, is sacrificial love, is a love that gives, a love that denies self and lays self down for the sake of the other. The love that sacrifices self. That verse in earlier on in John's Gospel, greater love has no one than he who lays down his life for his friends. That's the first word, agape. The second one used here by both Jesus and Peter is filio. Filio love is brotherly love, friendly love, love that's fond or drawn to another. Comradeship, good friendship. Peter had said, I will lay down my life for you. Agape, sacrificial love. But then had denied Jesus those three times. So Jesus asks Simon Peter first, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? That's agape, sacrificial love. Is it true, Peter? Do you love me that much, sacrificially? Willing to lay down your life? Yes, Lord, he replies in verse 15. But then he kind of backpedals a little bit. You know that I love you, but he uses the other word, filio, as a friend, as a comrade. Peter realizes that he cannot love the Lord as perfectly and deeply as the Lord loves him. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He can't love the Lord as much as the Lord loves him. But he does love Jesus as much as he knows that he can. Even though he'd crumpled under pressure and denied him. Remember that, how he just jumped into the sea with all his clothes on. He loves the Lord. John says it's the Lord, and there's no holding him back. He's in the water. Feed my lambs, says Jesus. Be a sheep. Be a fisher of men. But be a shepherd. Be a shepherd too. If you love me, love and care for my followers. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying if you love Jesus, love the church. Care and tend for the flock whom he loved so much that he died for them. You love them too. It would be a nonsense to say, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, but I can't stand church. I can't stand religious people. Now we may prefer one type of service to another, and there's different styles of doing things, and But if we love the Lord, surely we will have a love for others who love him too. Love and care for one another deeply from the heart. The second time Jesus asked Peter, "Do you truly love me?" Peter replies again, "You know that I do. Then take care of my sheep. Be a shepherd, Peter." The third time, Jesus asks, using Peter's word for love, the filio word, as a friend. Verse 17, the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me as a friend?" Peter, do you really love me even as a friend? Even that much, really? No wonder Peter was hurt there. Because Jesus asked him the third time, did Jesus even doubt Peter's love as a friend? And Jesus has a way of getting through to us, doesn't he? Touching the spot. He can unsettle and it can hurt. But he needs to penetrate. He needs to put his finger on the exact place in our heart, the tender spot. Like a dentist, you know, you've got raw nerve and there's that sharp metal. Ooh. Hit the nerve, exposing the rot. Without the infection being drawn to a head, the wound will continue to fester. And there's hurt in that process, but Jesus leads us gently through with his healing balm. Peter is hurt that his promised agape sacrificial love had evaporated so easily earlier on in the courtyard. And he wept bitter tears over it. Now he is hurt that Jesus questions even his affectionate fondness and brotherly love for him. But then straight after comes the Lord's encouragement to Peter. Verse 18. It's encouragement, but it might not look like it at first. "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now you'd be inclined, wouldn't you, to think it's slightly less than encouraging to have the Lord forewarn you of your coming martyrdom or execution. But this is encouragement. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, "Peter, you're not going to deny me next time. You're not going to deny that you know me anymore. It won't happen. Whether there's threats of prison or death or... you will stay faithful to the end. And Peter, you will see that you do love me sacrificially with that godlike agape love, even unto death. You will lay down your life. Greater love has no one than he who lays down his life for his friends." The worst possible thing that Peter could have heard would be Jesus saying, "You're going to deny me again. Three times." No, he's going to lay his life down for his friend next time. For him to hear those words, that he will remain faithful to the end, though it will cost him his life. For him to hear from the lips of Jesus that he did love him with that sacrificial agape love. It was joy to his ears. Church history tells us that Peter was crucified himself, but that he declined to be crucified in an upright position and asked to be crucified upside down, just because he considered himself unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. So See, if you're not going to deny Jesus, you must deny self. If you're not going to deny Jesus, you must deny self. I forget the name of the chickens on Chicken Run, but one of them just says, "Are those the only choices?" If you're not going to deny Jesus, you must deny self. You can't put Jesus first and yourself first. Deny him or deny self. If we put ourselves first, we end up tearing ourselves apart with bitter tears. In the end, everything depends on putting Jesus first. What do you make of him? What do you make of Jesus Christ? Do you love him? Is he your number one? Is he your Lord? And if you do believe, are you following him? If you're not sure or you don't believe, how do you explain him? How do you get round Jesus? Can you really carry on just avoiding him altogether? Commit yourself to him. Be a follower, a pursuer of Christ. And if you fall, if you fail, if you deny him, come back again, repent, and get back on in the saddle. Be a follower of Christ. If you get distracted a while, come back again. Let your chief concern be that you are bringing glory to Christ. Even Peter said here, his death will bring glory to Christ, whether it's by life or by death. A few years later, the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Live or die, but glorify him. Let us never be ashamed of him. It's been said that a man who isn't prepared to die for something is not truly fit to live. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If you just live to preserve your life, really it's to say there's nothing bigger going on than just my life. It's as if to say the most important thing in the universe to me is my physical life. Well, the newsflash is, we're all dying. We haven't got long. We can't preserve this. "Do you love me?" asks Jesus. "Do you love me? Will you put him first as Lord of all? Follow me. Be a sheep. Follow me. Be a fisher of men. Follow me. Take care of my sheep and be a shepherd. And love God's church. Do you love me?" Amen. We're going to draw to a close as we sing the short hymn on the reverse of the sheet. Again, it's not a very well-known one, but thankfully it won't be me leading the singing this week. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands, for it's only in your will that I am free. Let's sing this song together as a prayer in response to God's word to us here today. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus, all for
Now to him who is able to establish you by the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings and by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.